seated and attentive. That's nice.
I'm attentive.
Okay, I'd like to call the meeting to order, please, and if you would join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Let the record show that we have a quorum. I would like to welcome everyone here today, and I would also like to welcome those who are observing the meeting on the live web stream. This is a first for us today that we have the meetings streamed live. I thank AGP Video for having the technology to put it in place. And so with that, we'll proceed with the agenda and start with report from closed session.
Mr. President, we discussed potential litigation at the last meeting, but there's nothing to report.
Thank you, Mr. Carmel. Special reports, Sheriff Department report.
Right here. Good afternoon. I guess I should introduce myself first. I'm Sergeant Scott. I'll be with the Sheriff's Coast Station for about 2 years. Prior to this, watch commander and detective. But I actually patrolled here for many years in the early 2000s. So with that, I will bring the report, which encompasses from January through February. And speaking to the young lady in the back with the hat, she wanted to know what the stats were and make it all good news. So I told her it was all zeros, and she asked me, hey, is that good for the Sheriff's Department? And I said, exactly. The absence of crime shows the effectiveness of a Sheriff's Department. And today, we have a lot of zeros. The majority of the stats come from medical calls. There were 46. Assisting other agencies, 15. No overdue subjects, no missing persons. This was impressive. Crimes against persons, 2. No domestic violence. Crimes against property, 1 out of several in that category. No juvenile problems, no runaway juveniles. Only 1 disturbance call. Suicidal subjects, none. 6 checked the welfares. We assisted 11 citizens in various ways. Suspicious circumstances, 11, incomplete 911 calls, 19 audible alarms, and we made 27 traffic stops with no citations and 15 follow-ups. For a total of 225 calls for service, and basically they were medicals and non-crime type calls. Any questions from me or for me? All right.
Thank you, Sergeant Scott. Any questions for Director Robinette?
Thank you. Thank you for the report. And I was just wondering, and welcome. We're glad you're in this area. We had been in
several decades.
But I think
at one time we had a report
our station.
At the fire station
at the Cambria Fire Department.
Correct. And I believe that is still in effect. But I will make a note of it.
Yeah, I think, Sergeant Scott, you probably weren't involved in the discussions on this since you're new at the station. Commander,
DeForest.
DeForest is working to working with the general manager to establish the drop-in center, if you would, at our fire station here on Burton Drive.
Right.
And I'm hopeful that we can accomplish that before Sheriff Parkinson has his town hall meeting in March. So I think that would give him a good opportunity to make mention of that to the citizenry that are here. So if you could perhaps pass that along to the commander that we're anxiously looking forward to getting that in place, I'd appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you. And one other thing, Sergeant, I believe you discussed with Mrs. Robinson, who is going to be commenting during public comment,
her concerns about traffic on Eaton.
And, correct.
And hopefully, if you could pass that along to your officers, that'd be great, too.
Yeah, as soon as I get back, I'll send a email out to them, and we'll try and get some people over there. And hopefully
super. Thank
address
you for,
it.
All thank right. you for coming. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Directors, when we discussed the agenda, we also thought it'd be appropriate to at this point in time in the agenda, have a regular report from the fire chief as part of a public safety discussion that we're having here. And so we've asked, especially in light of all the new issues that are arising with respect to the fire department and the paramedic services, that it would be a good time to have a regular report from the chief on those issues. And Chief Miller, if you would at this time.
Good afternoon. Mark Miller, Fire Chief of the Cambria CSD Fire Department and Interim Administrator of the Cambria Community Healthcare District. And it has been a busy month. In your packets, you have all of the detailed information on our run stats and some of the stuff that's been going on. So I'll just highlight a few of the things that the firefighters throw in and vote on that. And we're real happy to give that honor to Ben this year. While we're talking about personnel, the fire department is going to be looking at having to do a recruitment this year. We've lost a number of our reserve personnel. It's kind of a bittersweet thing that, you know, we are glad to see that they pursue their career dreams, and that most of them want to get hired on full time as firefighters, and a number of them achieve that goal, which speaks well of our agency to have our people picked up by agencies. But we, on the other hand, we lose good people. So we have had to say over the last month, we've had to say goodbye to Matt Brody, Keith Drummond, Sean Horton, Dylan Cox, Robert Rondinella, and Joe Ramirez. And we'll be looking to replace those firefighters with some more reserves, with a reserve recruitment here, hopefully as soon as next month. The fire department conducted a strategic planning study session retreat at the Cavalier in San Simeon earlier this month. The intent of that is to brainstorm ideas, to put together some ideas on what we feel the status of the department is and the needs and where we're roughly trying to go over the next 5 to 10 years, to present that to the board, for the board to look at and share with the community, and then hopefully try to lock down a solid strategic plan for our organization for the next 5 to 10 years. So that will be forthcoming. There's a lot of work left to do on that, but you will be receiving that in the, probably within the next couple of months. Recently, earlier this week, Monday, the CCSD and the CCHD had a internal stakeholders meeting in reference to the shared services effort, the JPA agreement between the two agencies. There were representatives from all around the county, and I refer to it as an internal stakeholders meeting. We had EMSA, the sheriff's department. They had some kind of concerns. We didn't want to find out about that later on down the road. Overall, I felt it was a very productive meeting. We had considerable amount of support. I don't think there was anybody that had any big concerns for what we were doing, and we were given some direction, which we're following up on, to prep for a workshop, a public workshop to be held, I believe it's the second or third week of this month. Is that somewhere in there? I believe it's this
March.
Of March, next month, yeah. Um, And that's about all I have, unless there's any questions that anybody may have. Or
Can you comment on the smoke this morning?
There's a lot of controlled burning that's going on. That's the slash that was generated from the Covell Bridge Street shaded fuel break project. They're trying to burn a lot of those, and all of that burning has to be done on permissive days, which some of the days that you would think would be permissive, like when it's raining, are not. Sometimes they are. That's dictated by the Air Pollution Control District on when they can do that. So that's been ongoing for the last probably the last 2 months. So we get a lot of calls on that.
Yeah, so. I didn't hear any ambulances. So I mean, any sirens.
Fire, yeah.
So I figured that was what it was. But just for the public's knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been going on, and it'll probably continue to go on for probably another month or so.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Any questions?
Okay. Thank you, Chief,
thank you.
And appreciate your report. And in the event that you're not able to attend, perhaps one of your captains could present, and I think it'd be a good experience for them to.
Yeah. Hear. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We have no presentations today, so we'll move to public comment. We have two at this point. Sue Robinson, if you would, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Sue Robinson, and I appreciate your being able to let me come today. I live on Wood Drive, and my house backs on to Eaton. I'm flying and passed all three of them and went zipping out to the highway. If one of the kids had been walking across the street, I don't even want to think about what would have happened. When MidState Bank was getting their approval for their new building, the county required that a traffic light be put in. And I assume that was for the safety of the community. You know, there was going to be more cars. We're very close to getting approval of the Cambria Pines apartments, which 40 units could increase the traffic by 40, 80, 120 cars. We don't know. But I'm just hoping that by talking to some of the groups, I can convince the county, and I've already contacted them also, to consider the safety of the students in Cambria when considering that building. Things can be, you know, I'm not saying don't approve the building, but that street is dangerous. It really is. Elderly people are walking across the street to go to church. There are tourists that get lost and they make U-turns like crazy because they get confused. We don't have very good signs around here. But I'm just hoping that the board will back me up in asking the county to please consider the safety of the children in this town. Between the grammar school and the middle school. There's a lot of kids wandering around there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Robinson, and congratulations on your election to the Chamber Board of Directors.
Thank you.
Okay, next we have Richard, is it Misich? Uchichi. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much for letting me speak. My name is Richard Michici. I've been a resident here in Cambria since 2009. Spelling is M-I-C-C-I-C-H-I. I've come. Perfect. Okay. Well, I've come to the forum here to talk about two parks. Both are in Cambria. One is Shimiel Park. The other one is San Simeon State Park on the street of Nottingham. A year and a half ago, I live right across the street from this park, of San Simeon State Park. A year and a half ago, I noticed the benches and the pathways to the benches. I've noticed a culvert that's been plugged up and no parking for residents or tourists that come through the town. So I spent about a year, the three benches that were in place for the last 40 years or so at this park have now been removed, and they're being replaced with new polyurethane benches with armrests, might I say. The pathways leading to the benches are being looked at, and materials are being brought in by Windsor Construction at no cost. And I never met the gentleman. His name is Tim Windsor. I spoke to him on the phone, and he asked me, he said, "Richard, what can I do for you?" And he said, "Whenever you're ready and the park benches are ready and I give them the okay, I'll drop off 10 to 12 yards of base gravel." The culvert that allows water running downhill toward the ocean has been plugged up for the last 2 years. They've sent out the county jail inmates to clean up in the last 2 years. That didn't happen, and the water birdbaths itself between Layton and Nottingham. And I've been out there many days after the rains with a push broom, getting the water away so people can walk through and what have you. And parking. Mr. Honeycutt and park people met Monday in front of my house. And I'm not trying to be a big shot. I'm just telling you, you know, it all came together. And they're looking at where a designated parking could be on this street. So I'll leave that alone, but that's all taking place. They've given me their word. If you drive by there, you'll see all the benches are out and new ones are starting to be established. Shamil Park, yesterday I walked by it, and for some reason I was still on a run from, you know, things are happening. And I got a hold of the director for County Parks by the name of Curtis Black. Talked to him on the phone for about a half an hour and told him the plight that I was looking at, that I thought would be sort of good representation for this town, and that is the sign itself where it says Shamil Park needs a good painting. The paint's all dull, and it would be a good presentation to a tourist coming around the bend of Windsor and seeing a nice presentation. Secondly, there's a brick wall that runs the perimeter or the border of Shamil Park that's about a foot and a half tall. And being a brick mason for 35 years in the Bay Area, coming out here, I can appreciate beauty. And all the bricks have debris, gum, algae, you name it. And I talked to him about that. And
please.
Jerry McKinnon, Cambria, you are aware I'm not wearing my usual cap. That's because I'm speaking to you as a retired employee. There's a trite expression going around now in politics about kicking the can down the road. I'm reminded as a youngster, we used to play a game called Kick the Can. Ladies and gentlemen, you are it. You have a responsibility to win the game by making sure that you fulfill your responsibilities to assuring that retired employees retain their health care benefits. I want to keep that issue alive because you have 29 employees out there who used to work for the CCSD who are living on less income. The amount of less income depends, of course, upon the individual. But by your unified action, you have arbitrarily cut the income of retired employees. It's your responsibility, you are it, to do what is right. Not to build more money into your reserve account by cutting the benefits of the employees so that you have more money to spend someplace else, but to assure that your retired employees get what they are entitled to. So I'm just trying to keep this issue alive by kicking the can, and you now must go back and retrieve that can, set it down, count to 10, get your ideas together, and uniformly, as a cohesive group, decide what you are doing. As retired employees, we have not heard what your decision is. If your decision is not to reinstate our retirement benefits, say it out loud so we can hear it, so in the next election time we can stand up and decide whether or not we want you back on the board. Because this is a very personal, logical issue that you can resolve quite simply by a unified act. directing the manager and whatever his responsible people are to reinstate that part of the retirement benefit.
View, any additions, deletions, or pulled consent items?
Yes, I'd like to pull one consent item. I'd like to pull C, the Board of Director bylaws.
Okay, anything, any other items that... Okay, item 7C will be before us when we get to consent items. Manager and board reports, Mr. Gruber.
Thank you, President Thompson and board members. We're continuing to work on the conservation program. We'll see a draft of the final draft of that today presented to the board. Just for informational purposes, we do meet once a week at the staff level and to work on the conservation program. That's every Monday at 2 o'clock. And that's the water department, myself, administrative services officer, staff from the office. So we don't want you to think that we're not meeting on a regular basis, but what we do. We should start within the next month or so cleaning and videotaping 20% of the collection system. Again, that's something that we need to do on an ongoing basis. The plan is over the next 5 years to clean and videotape 20% at a time and defer the cost and then identify key infrastructure deficiencies that will result from the videotaping of that. The rodeo grounds is continuing to be worked on by RBF. Just as a reminder, the rodeo grounds, the RBF is redoing the hydraulic modeling relating to that. Based on our new fire flow standards, we feel that the project can be designed and put out to bid at a considerable amount less money than originally anticipated. So we'll have that finished in the next couple months or so, and I would like to be able to have a complete bid package to the board in the next 3 or 4 months at least. The next item on my manager's report is the CIP, which is the capital improvement list. We did have a CIP list at one time. After reviewing it, I didn't have a level of confidence that I felt that it really represented what needed to be done from an infrastructure point of view for the district. So Bob and I and the Water and Wastewater Department have been spending a lot of time on that. And that revised list, it should be done in the next week or so, and then we'll be sending that over to Alex Handler from Barta Wells, who's working on our connection fee study, because that information needs to be updated as much as possible. The phase one wastewater audit, which is an inventory of our, making sure that their grease traps are functioning properly and making sure that the grease that they do dispose of does not impact the collection system or the environment. It's safe to say that a few of our SSOs, our sanitary sewer overflows, were the direct result of an excessive amount of grease being put into the lines. So that's something that, and we were really, really pleased that a lot of the restaurants that we went into and a lot of the industrial kitchens were in really, really good shape. We've only found one so far that was in pretty bad shape, and the owner's been working with us to correct those deficiencies. We'll bring the mid-year budget adjustment forward in March. I've been working really closely with Alan Labossier, who is not here today, our finance manager. And so far, we only have a deficit of about $24,000. And you're probably going, well, why do we have a deficit of $24,000? We've just been really getting a lot of things done and a lot of things that were not anticipated, especially replacing computers and copiers, copy machines and things like that that went down. So overall, from a $7.3 million budget, a slight deficit is really not very much of a problem at all. At least I don't consider it very much of one. And so considering all the things that we're getting done, and as President Thompson indicated, we are live streaming. I'm hoping that's working out. I hear some conversations going on back there, and maybe it's not as flawless as we thought it would be, but hopefully everybody is sitting at home right now. But we still would encourage people to come to the CCSD meetings. We don't want you to sit at home and watch our meetings, only if you want to. As Mark said, it's been a really busy month. I just want to thank the board. I've never worked with a board that works as hard as this one. Is ad hoc meetings. They're always meeting with staff. They put in a lot of hours. I want the community to know that it's not a part-time job for any of the board members. With that being said, if you look at I attended the following meetings and community events on behalf of the CCSD since the last board meeting in January. Many of these items that are listed here, including a visit with Lois Capps, President Thompson and Vice President Berenger, District Engineer Greshens, and myself did meet with Lois, and it was a very, very good meeting. But many of these things that you see listed on my general manager's report, the board also attends them, and they're a part of it, so and doing just a great job. The second one is from the Scarecrow folks, Taylor Hilden, just thanking us for the support that we've given that event. You know, the board did approve funding for the brackets that are on all the streetlights for the historical or for the Scarecrow Festival, and they just sent us a letter thanking us for that. And then we also got a thank you letter from Santa Lucia Middle School with regards to a fundraiser that we had here that was able to raise $17,000 for a person in need, and just got a really nice thank you letter. So that's three thank you letters, and I don't think we got any hate mail. But I'll include that if we get that. So, yes. Okay, good. So we know we're up and running. Okay, good. On page 11 is we had the finance manager's report. There was no expenditures over $100,000 as of January 31st. We have $4,837,561 in LAIF, and that's the combination of everything listed below, including the general fund and all the enterprise accounts. So that's the net total of all those. On page 13, this is something that the board asked us to do, and this is to show our LAIF balance over the last several years. We started back in 2009 where we had a balance of about 4.5 thousand. We hit a high in 2011 of about five million, and then we're right about 4.9 right now, which is good. On page 14, I always like to just take a few minutes to talk about this again. These are our current loans that we have outstanding. We're going to have a really good opportunity here in the next couple years to retire some of these, sort of like a mortgage, and it's going to be fun deciding what we want to do with that money, and how we want to allocate it, and how we want to prioritize it. That'll be good board and community discussion on how we want to allocate those funds. Chief Miller already talked about his report, and we have the district engineer's report. I'm just going to highlight a couple points on that. Again, Bob mentions here that he's working on the CIP, which is revising the capital. Ask us when was the last time we got an update from ACE, and we have not got one for several months. We've been on the phone with them, and we will make sure that we get an update from ACE. Also, RBF was not included in this month, so we'll make sure, because I promised you that you'd be getting monthly updates from both of those, and they're not included in this agenda report, so we'll make sure that we get those to you. Page 18 is the water supervisor's report. They responded to a total of 120 calls. Let's take a few minutes to look at the graphs starting on page 20 of our Santa Rosa, San Simeon well and San Rosa Creek wells. It's been a relatively dry year this year. We have approximately 11 point something inches of rain. It takes about 10 inches of rain to recharge our basins. We're holding okay right now. We're doing all right. We're hoping we get some rain on Wednesday of next week. And we always used to call it the March miracle, so hopefully we'll get a March miracle. But we just want you to know we're keeping a really close eye on these well levels. And wastewater report, Mike continues to do a great job. Just second bullet point down under operations, staff work with AT&T installing phone lines at the lift stations. These are all up and running now at all the lift stations. So Mike's done a really good job in eliminating ghost alarms. There's an annual savings of about $5,000 a year on this, so I just wanted to thank thank Mike for doing all the work he's doing there. And then we have the manager's report from the Fiscalini Facilities and Resources. Again, Carlos is working on the Fiscalini Ranch, in the skate park, the public restrooms, the vets hall. We held 63 events here. Can you believe that? That's why it's important that we maintain this building and continue to maintain it. Fire inspections and railings and painting and cleaning. He's been very, very busy. One of the things that I had Carlos include on this agenda packet board is on page 32. This is a trails map of the Fiscalini Ranch Preserve, and it is marked by a ledger, equestrian use permit, equestrian use not permitted, and trail entrance. And then they're numbered, and it shows the names of the trails. And this is something that we have on the office. I'm not sure if it's on our website, but I'll make sure it gets on our website and just shows the designated trails from the ranch and how I really enjoy spending 10 minutes or so telling you everything that's going on in the district and the work that staff is doing and that we're doing. With that, if there's any questions of my report or the district engineer or any other department manager's reports, I'll be more than happy to answer them at this time.
Okay. Before we bring it back to staff, we have one request for public comment. Elizabeth Bettenhausen.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I'm pleased to be here, even though it's gorgeous outside. But I'm sure that you can devote some attention to the dancing for rain that we desperately need in your agenda today. I really want to thank the fire department and the health district ambulance people. A neighbor was quite injured from a stroke 2 days ago, and the service they provide is simply phenomenal. I don't care about merger or whatever you all work on in that regard, but I hope that the people in this town regularly celebrate in whatever way they choose the wonderful service that we get from the fire department and the ambulance service. I want to ask if there will be at some future meeting, preferably a soon one, an update on the consultants' work, Bartle and Wells, on the connection fee. I keep seeing reference to this in agenda again and again and again, but I don't know when there's going to be a detailed update, not simply a mentioning of it, but some specific information that we might begin to think about in terms of the projections for what connection fees might be. I would like also to know if anybody has contacted ACE, I mean the Army Corps of Engineers, to get a speculative, imaginary intimation of a possible time when the EIR, EIS might show up. I know it's springtime ends in less than a month, and they said springtime, so maybe we could find out a little better information from them than they have given us so far. And the last thing I'd love to know, if anybody taped the conversation with Lois Capps, I would love to know some of the things that were really talked about other than just the sort of somewhat vague description that's in the agenda. Did she have any speculation on pending legislation or proposed legislation that might be of use to this water services district as well as wastewater? And then, President, asking why do we need to have potable water to check how the wastewater is doing? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bettenhausen. And we'll try to answer a few of your questions today. I was going to hold off until the member and committee reports on the meeting with Congresswoman Capps, so we'll give you a little bit more information on that at that time. Mr. Gruber, if you could answer a few of the questions.
Sure.
That she had with respect to Bartles and Wells. And
The connection fees, the important part of the connection, to answer it simply, not sound like a bureaucrat, connection fees, we're finalizing the CIP, and that's really an important component, and it's taken us a lot longer than we thought because the information that we want to provide to Bartle Wells for the connection fees needs to have that done. So we should have that done in the next week, and we should have it done to Bartle Wells, to Alex Handler, in the next week or so. And then it's not going to take that long for him to put a draft together. I would come to the board and ask them, you know, similar to what we did to the conservation program and to the master fee schedule at that time, you know, would it be a good idea to maybe have a public workshop or some kind of workshop that we could at least look at the draft and have Alex come down and explain what those costs associated with the water and wastewater connection fees are going to be. As far as ACE and the EIR, we have been in contact with them. I'd like to be able to meet with the Water Alternatives Ad Hoc Committee and talk to them about that conversation. Preliminary dialogues with them have indicated that it's not going to be spring of 2000 this year. It's going to be longer, and so we have to. When I say longer, how much longer? I'd like to be able to sit down with them and determine how much longer and why is it taking longer. One of the things that we are going to do is schedule a meeting, a face-to-face meeting with Colonel Toy down in Los Angeles. It's been a while since we've done that, and we have a new president and a vice president. So I think it's important that we sit down and have a face-to-face meeting with Colonel Toy down in Los Angeles and find out when exactly the EIR-EIS process is going to be done, because Elizabeth is absolutely right. We were promised spring of 2013. I don't think Lois taped the I didn't see a tape recorder in there, but I think President Thompson will probably elaborate a little bit more on the conversation, the specifics of what we talked about. And then I'll have to look into the it's considered reclaimed agricultural water that we could use. So I'm about 99% sure that that's what she was referring to, but I want to get her a right answer. But I think that's it. You can't use wastewater to clean a collection system. You have to use potable water to get that sand and that silt out of the system that's been in there for many, many years.
And Elizabeth, thank you for your comments about the fire department and paramedics. I think a lot of Cambrians share your feelings about their services, and in particular with the remote location that we find ourselves in. I think it's important that we have top-notch emergency services, which I feel we do. Directors, any comments on the general manager's report? Director Rice?
Thank you for responding to some of the questions that I had sent you, Jerry. One of the ones that I would like to raise is there's been some reports that the Western U.S. is going to be experiencing very dry year, and I know that part of the model that was designed as part of with a contractor to determine whether or not that it's the model that's run to determine whether or not we implement surcharges. And that my understanding, as part of the Water Emergency Alternative Citizens Committee, we spent a lot of time looking into what that model is and what's required. There's some engineers on that committee, and there were some people that really kind of, I think, had a grasp of what it was and what it did. And our understanding was that it gets run at the beginning of the water year, which is November 1st, and then gets run again in April or May, depending on how wet it's been in the winter time, because you have to have the two points of comparison. Maybe I misunderstood the way that model is supposed to work, but the committee did recommend that it be run, and when you run it, you're supposed to run it at the beginning of the water year, and you're supposed to run it again in the springtime. And if it's expected to be a dry year, then you have time enough ahead to implement surcharges and inform the community that they need to be more cognizant of their water use so we don't run out. I also you kind of referred to this, but I think it's important that once we get a better handle on the points bank for the retrofits, I think it's important to have that as part of the administrator's report, because just like where do we still possibly have room to save more? So I'd really like to have that information going forward. The last thing is I've asked a couple of times before I was on the board to have the well production numbers included. You have the charts of where the well levels are, but it would be nice to see those well production numbers. And it's getting very small because it goes from 1988 to now, and so it's you need a magnifying glass to see it. Maybe it needs to be reformatted. But it would be nice to be able to see, because then the community can see what our actual water use is, because we are doing a good job and we can do better. And so I would like to see that. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? Director Robinette?
Well, thank you. I would just say on that, too, I think as we're considering data and very kind of timely monitoring, if we're going to be looking at even maybe better ways to look at water beyond where the well level is, and we want to see what production is, then I want to see what demand is, too, and maybe kind of have a ongoing comparison between the two. Thank you.
Director Berger?
Mr. General Manager, one thing I wanted to kind of have as a reminder, apparently we installed these AT&T lines in the lift stations, and we incorporated an alarm telemetry system. And just as a reminder, I think that should be brought up in the infrastructure ad hoc committee meeting, because I think that might affect on what we want to do with SCADA. I don't want to have that lost as an issue. And a comment that Harvey Honeyhuts donated a new graffiti-proof porta-potty for the park, I don't think should go unrecognized. I think that Harvey's Honeyhuts has done a lot. And when Pine Dorado comes around, they do a fantastic job of donating, or certainly low-cost porta-potties for that. And I just don't think it should be lost in this report. And it also says that staff continues to clean and supervise the park, and I think that the regulations under which we operate skate parks cannot be supervised. Small point.
Okay. Is that it? Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Gruber. Moving to member and committee reports. Any members have...
Lewin spoke to the council about the rural fire assessment. And then there was a extremely long discussion, which I was not able to hear the end of because I had to skedaddle, about the Cambria Pines Apartments, the affordable housing project. There was one question raised while I was still there from the council, which was there's 40 meters and there's 40 apartments, and there's also a community center that includes two bathrooms that each have two sinks and one toilet each. And I don't know what other fixtures are in that. And it was asked about how does that count into the 40 meters. And the people in the project that were there for the meeting said, well, that's going to be attached to the resident manager's apartment. And I don't know how we account for the water that's included with those 40 EDUs that we did approve for them, but it seems to me that if we thought it was going to be 40 apartments and not this extra community room that probably is going to have a laundry room in it, I don't know if we accounted for that in the water, and I'd like to bring that forward, because that was a concern of the council, and I couldn't really answer the question about that and how that was going to affect anything. So I just wanted to raise that issue. I don't know if there's anything that we can do about it, but I think that it's an important point to raise.
I'd like to add to that.
Thank you. Yes.
I wanted to add to that a bit, too. Are we with the project, with the 40 ED, the water allocations, is that all now completely from CSD's responsibility, finalized, approved?
Whoops. Whoops. Thank you. Yes, they have two projects. One is their current project, and they do have an irrigation meter, or maybe I should call it a separate meter, which provides the water to their laundry room and their outside irrigation, if I recall correctly. Now, their new project, they did talk with...
...of some of these projects, and we're told that, well, it's not finalized. But then, of course, that bothers me, because if we have given the green light on something with an understanding, and yet we've learned that actually there's changes to design, there's additions to design, I would really recommend that we kind of look into this and make sure that once things have left here, that what you have is the absolute final version, and that they don't come back to you with your time is valuable, you're very busy, and that people have made changes after the fact of leaving here. We really have to look into that, because this isn't the first example of that.
Well, it's a bit of a process. So initially they start out on the wait list or the affordable housing wait list, and then they get intent to serve letters, which just means that we're willing to give them the water for their project of 40 units. Coming back and bringing us their plans is a part that Bob Gressens, our engineer, actually looks into, and he does all those calculations and determines whether or not they're within their EDU allocation and so forth. So we haven't seen the plans yet.
So you haven't seen the evolution, because it is evolving.
Yeah. Right, and it is something that may end up getting cut later on, but the additional meter would have to come back to the board.
Thank you.
If I can just add to what Monique just said, too, some of the process remaining on that project, they have to complete their design work. There's going to be a review of that design once it's completed. They have to do the demand offsets for retrofit, so we have to provide them a demand offset letter showing where all the points are coming from. You were talking about retrofit points earlier. That project right now is estimated as requiring 4,000 retrofit points to offset its projected demand for the 40 units. So that work is in process, both by our doing rebates and as well as the engineer that's working on that project. The other part of the puzzle here is the water letter that we issue will make specific reference to the date and who did those drawings, so we pin it down that way. If they do have a change, they need to get back to us. You know, once that water letter goes out, we expect to be kept up to date on any changes to design so they don't add extra units or whatever. I'm not implying they would, but that's how we track that particular question.
Okay. Thank you. I just think it's good for all of us to occasionally kind of review the process. Thank you.
The time when the amount of water we used indoors was because we flushed the toilet 6 gallons down the toilet every time we flushed. And I think getting part of it, that is doing the efficiency program and some of the other things we're doing. But I think it's really important that the community has an idea that this isn't going to be more water used. This is more people living in town, and it isn't more water used. It's more people using the same amount of water.
General Manager, this is a really good conversation. My suggestion is in March, as part of Bob's engineering report, I'll have him include the process, the steps, and because these are good questions, and I don't want you to think that there's a large gap between the board's decision to issue those 40 EDUs and the construction of the project. There is a process, but you're absolutely right. We need to be able, the board needs to feel comfortable and to be able to answer our constituents' questions, and the community needs to feel comfortable that there is a process. And so what I can have Bob do is bullet point out the process, which would include a zero net gain, as Director Rice indicated, because they do have to offset their 4,000 points. They have to offset it in its entirety. And I think that's important to communicate to the community also, because we're being good stewards of our limited resources. And so we'll just include it in March's report. We can go through it, and then if you have any questions, we'll be more than happy to answer it. The rest of the questions that were asked by Director Rice, Director Robinette, and Vice President Berenger, I'll get you answers, and I'll shoot you answers to those emails, and hopefully those will be sufficient.
Okay. Director Clift, did you have a comment?
I wanted to report on some committee meetings.
Okay,
and
if you would.
I had the pleasure of attending the opening of the recycled water program up at San Simeon. Very efficient, cost-effective system to provide recycled water that's part of a plan to provide purple pipe and recycled water throughout that community. I applaud their efforts. Quickness in their ability to get something done and efficiently done at a fairly inexpensive price. Maybe that's the difference between private industry and ACE. Also had the opportunity to attend the CSDA chapter meeting, and it was an excellent place to be able to meet and talk with other CSDA, SDA people from around the county and see what they're doing. I attended the Sheriff's Services Committee, which was reported on by Chief Miller, so I won't go any farther into that.
Woman Capps and her district deputy, Greg Haas, in their San Luis Obispo office about a week ago. I thought it was a very productive meeting. We wanted to thank her for her previous support of our alternative water project and to ask for her support in terms of the WERDA bill that's awaiting action in Congress. We did ask her if what the likelihood would be of changing the authorization language from the narrow seawater desalination project definition to a broader water supply project, and she indicated that she didn't think that language would be a hurdle with respect to making that change. So we were pleased to hear that she felt that it was a doable activity. In terms of increasing the federal authorization ceiling level from $10.3 million to $21 million, that would be more problematic. That would be identified as an earmark, and currently Congress is not talking earmarks, and so that may be a more difficult thing to accomplish. Several other notes that I took with respect to our conversation. And again, we were talking about the community's support for finding a solution to a long-term water project, and the Congresswoman was encouraged that evidenced by the board elections of the last 10 years that the community was solidly behind having such a project. She was also impressed with the conservation efforts that we have undertaken in the past, as well as the new commitment that we were showing by the current project that we're undertaking. She was also impressed with the chamber's support, the fact that 350 members of the chamber are behind looking for a water source. And then she expressed concern for the 650 people on the waiting list of the last 10 years and the need to find some solution to that issue. That's pretty much it. Vice President Berenger, do you have any comments to add to that?
No, I let me move the Army Corps of Engineers along if she needs to. It's a pretty high priority for her. And I was very encouraged with it. It wasn't like we were coming out of nowhere. She was well informed, and I think it's going to be very helpful to have that meeting.
Exactly. Mr. Gruber, any thoughts?
No, I think you summarized the meeting very accurately. It was raining really hard that day too. So that.
It was
That's
wet.
Good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I have just a quick report.
Director Robinette.
Representing the board as the PROS liaison, we had a meeting this last month, and we have the president of PROS here and also the director for FERP, Board of Directors, the executive director. And it was pretty much the meeting was committed to goals, and they'll tell you about them, but the process is what I really appreciated, that they are mutually supportive goals. There's so much, I think, really connection and effort made between what's happening at the ranch and then beyond in a larger picture of the PROS Commission, too. So I look forward to that. There was also probably 20 people or so at the meeting that also, under public comment, wanted to talk again. They're really a group that's very focused on regaining access to the trails along the Covell property. But they seem to be going about it the right way, in a respectful way. They seem to be looking at their, you know, what's going to happen based on facts. They are trying to get to the bottom of really what are the legal grounds or possibilities that might be available or not. So that's it.
Thank you, Director Robinette. Directors, we have next up we have the consent agenda. We'll take up the one item in the consent agenda. Then I would like to, under regular business, move up the discussion about the goals so that we can hear from Ms. Butler and Mr. Niffen on their particular suggestions. And so we'll be with that in a few minutes, if you'll bear with us. Thank you. Under the consent agenda, we have one item that...
Really, I think, and I also talked with our district council, and really I think that our board bylaws are way too broad in scope, and they really need to be overhauled. They include several provisions and subjects that should be addressed in a separate policy document and don't really need to be included in bylaws. They would be way more useful and way easier to review if they were much more simplified, and if we pull the policy out, we can also have discussions on those particular policies. I'd like to take on a project next year as we do these bylaws to really give them a good overhaul when we look at these next year, so that we have something, a document that makes sense and that is in conjunction with what our actual operating procedures are, because there's a lot of things in these bylaws that describe things that are not really what's happening, or not really what should be happening even. So I'd like that was one thing that I'd like to say. The other thing I'm reluctant to do this as the newest board member, but I really do think that we need to look at the compensation being changed back to $100 per meeting, and here's why. The first two meetings that I attended were 6 hours apiece. When I add up all of the hours that I've spent in meetings for district business, not even counting travel time, the amount of money that I make per hour when I add it all in together for what I've made so far is about somewhere between $15 and $20 per hour at the $75 amount. The impact to the district for a year is like $9,000, and that's if everybody applies for 6 meetings per month, which is the maximum number of days of service we can turn in hours for. So if anything over 6, I'm out of luck anyway on getting paid for those, which I don't mind. I did this job not to get money, because this is not a very well-paid position, but I think it is important that we are compensated for our time, and it does take a lot of time, and I don't think the impact to the district for that $25. There's also a provision that any director that doesn't want to take $100 per meeting can take $75 or zero. It's not required that you take the compensation. So anyone who feels strongly in the other direction that they don't want to have the district spend the money could do that. And so that would be on Section 8, director compensation, changing it from $75 to $100. Those were my comments.
Okay. Director Clift?
Ought to be handled in resolution form or something like that. And I'll take the compensation thing as an example. It seems to me that our bylaws ought to just indicate that we will conform to the laws of the state on and not on compensation, and that the board budget hearings or such will determine compensation that fits within the regulatory limits of the thing. Whether it's increasing it to $100 or decreasing it to $50, that could be handled just as a board resolution rather than having to go through a constant bylaw update and things. So I think it might be a good idea. I don't have a real objection to continuing with the bylaws we currently have and taking some time to review these more or approve. I also don't have a problem with approving these with the understanding that we would maybe put a committee together to review. So I don't have any way either way, but I do think that sometimes these get a little bit too directive, and as such, then seem to be changed every year rather than most bylaws. Mm-hmm. I mean, live for 10 years at a time directing an agency, and then there's that. Then the only changes are the resolutions within each board meeting. So I'll go either way on it, but I do agree that there probably ought to be some ways to alter things.
My suggestion would be that we approve the ones that today with the one change. My suggestion that we approve with the one change about the compensation, and then next year at agenda review, I would be willing to take on the project and be part of a committee to really do an overhaul. That would be my suggestion. But either way.
And
Director Robinette,
if I could just add, that sounds like a good approach. And maybe, because they truly are cumbersome, maybe we could set up that committee, you know, mid-year now to give people really the time, because it will take some time, rather than wait until they're rolling around next year again. So we would set up a committee that would address that sometime mid-year this year to have it ready by the end of the year.
Rough glance, are we too restrictive? Are we less restrictive? What's your comment?
Mr. Carmel?
The bylaws you have are very broad and unwieldy. They contain a lot of provisions that are somewhat misleading, particularly with regard to some state laws that are very clear on the subject. So I thoroughly endorse the idea of paring them down to something simple that deals with, you know, business issues and meeting issues. That's really what they're intended to address, so that they can be useful. Rarely do we pull out the bylaws and look at them, because it's hard to get a grip as to, you know, where any single issue is. So my own opinion is they do deserve a nice trimming down, so to speak.
Okay. And I would almost recommend that we don't approve those today and we move on and table it till next month. Or if we can make the simple change that Director Rice very courageously put out, because I think it takes courage to state the fact that a $75 compensation really is a throwback to when 2008, when everybody was cutting everything, and the board on a spirit of cutting reduced the stipend. But I would support her recommendation if that's something we can do.
Can I let me go to Director Clift, and then we'll come back around.
I would oppose change. I don't have a problem just staying with the bylaws that we were operating under today, and putting together a committee, working with general counsel, and paring everything down. I do have two problems with changing the dollar amount at this point in time. First of all, if we're going to change the dollar amount, I would recommend we do it as part of the budget process and make it effective with the new budget. So then it goes through the process of reviewing it and such. The second aspect is that when we reduced that amount, we reduced it because philosophically we were asking our staff to reduce their income, and the board at that particular time felt that you should not ask staff to take hits that we weren't willing to take, and I think that was appropriate.
Pass.
Director Rice.
I agree with what you said. Director Clift, and I don't have any problem with it being delayed even until we redo the bylaws and have a trimmed down bylaws. I have no problem with the delay. Here's partly where I'm coming from. If you look at the CSD law that limits, it basically caps the amount that any CSD director of any agent of anywhere in the state gets. They wrote that law in 1955 when they updated it, and it was $100 in 1955. That's about $850 today. Okay, here's and in 2006 when they updated the CSD law, they didn't change it, so it was still 100. Even if you look at those dollars in today's dollars, you're looking at about $130 instead of 100. So that's why I felt kind of okay bringing it forward, because I'm pretty sure general manager in 1955 of a CSD was not making the kind of money that our general manager makes today, and I have no problem delaying it, or even if the board doesn't want to go that direction. I just wanted to raise the issue.
Yeah, I think the mood of the board is that we table this. And, Mr. Carmel, I don't think we need a motion to table it. We just...
If you're just going to drop the issue entirely, then you table it. I would indicate there are a bunch of changes that probably are beneficial that are included in the packet, but if you're going to take them on, again, at budget time, they can be deferred until then.
So a straight table would be appropriate?
Well, again,
or should we have a motion to that effect?
I would move that we table it. When is budget, though? When
are you going to start your budget?
When is the budget review?
Usually it's in June.
We start the budget process March, beginning of March. The draft budget will come to the board in May, and the final budget will be adopted in June. Just for informational purposes, the board attends the six meetings a week. Six meetings a month, rather.
No, a week sometimes.
No. Yeah. So 6 times 5 times 75 times 12 is 29,000. So if you all attended all your meetings for an entire fiscal year, it's $29,000. Not very much money. 6 times 5 times 100 times 12 is 37,000. So it's only an $8,000 impact. So I just want you to know that the $25,000, the $25 increase, if you were to all max your meetings out for an entire fiscal year, each one of you would have an $8,000 impact on the budget. So, not much.
I don't. It's coffee shop and the hours that you spend reading these reports and that kind of stuff. So, quite frankly, you're working at slave labor wages as it is, and I don't know that you can put that together, but. We heard an impassioned plea from Mr. McKinnon. And I have a hard time unless we're willing to step up. And now we may be able to say, our staff does receive certain cost of living adjustments automatically and things. And on that basis, but that's why I kind of wanted to go through the budget process and saying what is the justification for it, what are the reviews, and what are the hearings, rather than us just coming off and changing.
Can I, Mr. Berger? Is there a legal requirement that we adopt this resolution today, or could we just do it in June, just as a matter of circumstance?
Absolutely, your discretion as to when you consider them.
I suggest we. I move that we table this discussion until. And finalize it in the June meeting.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion on tabling.
Are we going to look at doing the overhaul of the bylaws in June, or do we want to wait until next year to do that part?
I think we should review the whole bylaws and set. Take that as a friendly amendment.
Yep.
So you're saying get the clarified, reduced, more streamlined bylaws in place by June.
Yes, that you can consider that part of my.
Okay. Would we then, the next step, want to have a representative committee after we take care of the motion?
That's up to the board president.
Yeah, we'll take that under advisement.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Those in favor of tabling the issue?
Aye.
Aye.
That is passed. Moving to the approval of the consent calendar without the bylaws, without 7C.
I would move that we approve the consent agenda, including 7A, B, D, and E.
I would second that.
Moved and seconded to approve the balance of the consent agenda. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
The motion is approved. We'll move to the, no hearings and appeals. We'll move to regular business. I'd like to move up.
In kind of the strategy we approached, that would be really helpful. So if that's okay with everybody else, we'll do that.
Okay, Steve, if we could, Jerry McKinnon, you had a public comment under bylaws. I didn't.
Thank you for the opportunity. Jerry McKinnon again. Merle Cliff took the sting out of it all. Thank you for recognizing what it's all about. Tabling this until a more appropriate time, I hope during that time period when you bring this to discussion, you will recognize that the increase that you're going to give yourselves in wages is what you have taken out of the fringe benefits of the health of the retired employees. The amount just about matches. I mean, the $29,000 just about what it is for the year that has been taken out of the health benefit. So we know now where the money would go unless you consider doing both at the same time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. McKinnon. Steve, if you would.
Thank you. Board of Directors, thanks for having me here today. Good meeting. I have all kinds of George Carlin-esque opinions on everything that's going on. You're welcome to call me at home for about 10 minutes, and that'll be all I'll give you. But I'm appreciating your work. You're dealing with some tough subjects. What I've got to discuss is some happy stuff. We're talking about our PROS goals. We're trying to match our goals up with the districts and with the FFRP. So we've had some discussions about where we're going. I'm not a big goals fan. I don't like to make a whole list of stuff unless I can put it on the fridge. So I've actually written down the PROS goals. Here's a bunch of paper with the minutes, but actually I've got it on a piece of paper that you can just put on the fridge. And we've got really just two goals with some sub-goals underneath them. One of them is that we need to quantify the ranch, is what I keep calling it. We need to work on getting a budget and really figuring out what that piece of property costs this district and what we need to do in the future to secure funding for keeping it the way we want to keep it. And Gail had mentioned the discussion we had about the Covell Ranch thing, which brought up some really interesting topics as you learn to take care of your forest and what you have to do to take care of it and preserve it for future generations. So anyway, we need to quantify the ranch. We need to figure out how many people are using it, grant funding, and some other maybe even yearly funding as we move down this road of deciding how much we need to put forth to preserving this piece of property. And I'm not referring to the park. I'm referring to just the ranch and what it takes to keep that thing going. The park is a different piece of, oh boy, I wish I could stop right there. Darn it. All right, I'll keep going. Another piece of the ranch that that is the second part of the goals that we have is the dog park. We feel that the dog park is the first piece of the active piece of recreation on the ranch that we can get going. The fields and everything else are a very large and cumbersome project, but we honestly believe that we can move the dog park and get that over there as soon as possible and just start down that road getting people over there and utilizing that as we told the county that we would 10 years ago. So those are really the two goals that we had. We've got some sub-goals that I wanted to talk about real quick. Signage, we wanted to get some signs up. We always fight about too much, not enough signage. It's a good discussion. The other one is the mapping of the trails that we already have by Adolf Atencio on the FFRP and really getting a handle on the trails and how they deteriorate and what we need to do to keep those in line. And then the last two pieces, Gail's and mine, we have two little bailiwicks we're working on. One is the entrance on the north side of the El Calibre and the little tie-in piece of the coastal trail in there. If you go by, you can see what that is. And then mine is also kind of tied into the Eaton Road situation with the kids and the cars is the highway to Burton through the lodge. I think a lot of us at Christmas time saw what a cluster that was in there. And if you ever walked that or taken your bike or seen kids and strollers, that's a very kind of dangerous situation. And we're working with, we haven't yet, but we're going to start working with the lodge and the county and seeing what we can do to put that together in a little safer manner. Other than that, we have our meetings every other month. We did that to try to cut back on staffing when we were all honing back, but we're getting a lot of stuff going now. So every other month sometimes doesn't seem like enough, but we are every other month. We encourage the public to come. At the last meeting, we're a good venue for just coming in and voicing stuff about what we've got under our purview. So we're happy to have you. There you go. Questions?
Thank you, Steve. Director Robinette.
Well, I just wanted to first of all publicly acknowledge what a fantastic job you are doing and decide that the Moonstone Trail is done, because we worked 6 years on the part that we just dedicated last spring, but it looks like between the parks, state parks with Nick Franco, and the county that works with this kind of thing of working with roads and setbacks, they are really moving forward on this. They seem to have budget. They are planning to do this now. So it's a very exciting kind of thing, and I know you'll get more involved, because they seem now to be talking like, no more projections, let's get to work. They're talking about how they're going to do the parking. And so, you know, it takes a little while, but finally we see things get done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I'd just like to say that one of the things that Erwin Owen Eschen, who's on the North Coast Advisory Council, he's the chair of the Traffic Committee, one of the things that he's really good at focusing on is how do we get funding and things like safe routes to school, maybe addressing the Eaton issue. And if you need his contact information, he gets stuff done, and he kind of knows his way around in terms of funding and transportation. I'd recommend that. Try and get in touch with him.
And then one last comment. I just cannot thank the FFRP for the work that they do on that piece of property. It would really be near impossible for this body and the government we have in place in this town to deal with that piece of property. And they do fabulous work. And we can complain or not like this or not like that. But I like to tell everybody, I don't like mowing my lawn. I can't imagine having 400 acres you're responsible for with people tromping all across it. And I think they do a great job in keeping it open and keeping the most majority of everybody really happy with it. So we're grateful for them. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve, and good luck in your game this afternoon. Next, we'll hear from Joellen Butler.
Good.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jerry, did you?
I thought, yeah, that would be a, thank you, President Thompson. That would be a good idea to hear from Joellen while she's here. Thanks.
Yes. As you're basking in the glow of
no,
Steve's
I feel
comments.
So good. I had expected just to say a little tiny short piece after Jerry was done, but the four goals that we have that are consistent with goals for CCSD and goals for PROS are a healthy and fire-resistant forest, working with the CCSD. Our last work day, we removed broom from the ranch, and there were 10 people out there for 3 hours each, 30 hours, spent removing broom in two different places on the ranch, and it filled about two trailers of the CCSD trailers that Jay and his partner at the time hauled away for us, which was absolutely fabulous. We still have more to do. And as far as the trails, Steve pretty much explained the trails. We have a lot of cross trails. We have trails through wetland areas. And what we need to do is map those trails and maybe do some refinement and defining of the trails that people should use on the ranch. And then the last one is applying for grants, which is something CCSD could also help us with, and those grants would go towards projects for the ranch. And the ranch is a much-loved space by everybody in the community, and we love being out there doing what we can to make it a better place. I'd like to say how great it has been to work in partnership with the CCSD, both the board and the staff. You guys are great. And also with PROS, with Parks, Recreation, and Open Space. We've been attending their meetings regularly, and it seems like that has come to be a really great thing because we're working together more and more and more. It's really wonderful. And then we value the opportunity to collaborate with everybody for the operation of the ranch and the improvement of the ranch, and we would appreciate your support of our common goals on the ranch. Thank you.
Thank you,
Do you
Director.
Have any questions?
Director Robinette.
Thank you. Well, I don't have any questions because I spend a lot of time with you. I just again wanted to say on public record that there are so many wonderful people in Cambria, so many, and so many people willing to volunteer, so many that take pride in the ranch. But I'm going to tell you who has the most pride in this ranch, is standing before us here right now. You, again, as Steve does, you set the tone. You have the energy. People want to help, and you are... there is nothing more at that time serene, really, and peaceful than just being with people that choose to be there, that are choosing to help and make that difference. But it has everything to do with your inspiration, Joellen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Director Clift?
It's my understanding that we are, the Cambria Community Service District is the one legally responsible for the maintenance of the ranch. And it's the Friends of Fiscalini Ranch are providing us with an outstanding service, including raising money for us, because in effect they raise money and then use it to offset what we as a district have the legal responsibility to do. I'd like to suggest that in the budget discussions that are coming up, that the budget committee consider setting aside some funds that might be for projects that that the Friends of Fiscalini Ranch could to do for us. I think that we can say thank you, but maybe we ought to also help out a little bit if we can. And I'm not putting any budget amount on that or anything on that, but I know you're searching around for grants and things, and maybe you ought to have a grant from the people who are ultimately responsible.
Thank you.
Director Berger?
Yeah, I just want to comment on that also. I know that at the PROS meeting, Mr. Gruber proactively was searching for things that the Friends wanted to do and PROS wanted to do, because it is our ultimate responsibility, and I'm certain that he's going to be putting that in his budget request. So.
Guaranteed.
Anyone else? Thank you very much, Joellen, and again, as with the other members of the board, we certainly appreciate what you do and what your colleagues do on the Friends, and I do every morning when I walk the ranch. I appreciate it, so thank you very much.
I was going to say, they work for wages below ours.
Further discussion on item 9C. Director Gruber, why don't you introduce this, since we
well thank you, President,
in there.
President Thompson and board members. And so this was a process, and the board has been that they have identified there needs to be a dollar amount associated with them. The two specific items that Parks and Rec have identified, there needs to be a dollar amount as part of the budget process put in with that. And so that's why we kind of did it this way this time, because we all are working together. And we will start the budget process at the beginning of March, and so as we adopt our goals. I didn't know if the president of the board wanted me to read through the goals. It'd only take a minute. And my goals, there's eight goals that I've kind of encapsulated from feedback that I've got from the board. I did miss one that I think is really important from Director Robinette, and that was a community stakeholders group, if you will, and I'll let her elaborate. I don't want to take away from her goal because it was clearly stated to me. I just inadvertently forgot to put it in there, along with some other goals that she is passionate about. But essentially, that is a group of a broad group of community members that would help us in some of the tough things that we're going to be dealing with in the future. So the board goals are complete work on the alternative water supply, issue a limited amount of intent to serve letters, lift the water moratorium. We can language that if you want. Adopt and implement a comprehensive water conservation program. Determine whether moving forward with the JPA agreement between the CCSD and the CCHD is still a viable option. I think the answer to that is yes. Support a 5-year strategic plan for the fire department. Identify priority and fund improvements to the community's infrastructure. Update the CCSD mission statement. Now, the last mission statement was written in 1999 and does not include language relating to Fiscalini Ranch Preserve. I'd like Director Vice President Berger to do this one. We've had some really good conversations on a mission statement less than 10 words, and I think that's a great idea. Continue to improve community relations between the CCSD, Cambrian, and regional stakeholders. This would include, but is not limited to biannual newsletter, conducting at least one evening meeting, live streaming the CCSD boards and to our website, in addition to posting previous board meetings on the website, both from an audio and visual perspective, and establishing an intergovernmental relations liaison. This task has already been completed. We already have an intergovernmental liaison group. Ad hoc committee, enhance pilot a little closer and really tie it into some of yours. Support, obviously, me and my staff want to support your goals. I think that's first and foremost. Whatever you direct us, whatever you decide to do, we are absolutely in support of it, and we're behind you 100%. Prepare and adopt a fiscally responsible 2013-2014 fiscal year. That should be budget. There's a typo on that. Sorry. Evaluate the feasibility of relocating the CCSD's administrative offices based on possible opportunities presented by community groups, the opportunity for fiscal savings, and an improved centralized location to improve accessibility to all Cambrians. You know, there's some opportunities out there. I've been approached, and there may be some buildings becoming available. We're paying $3,300 a month rent. You know, is this something that we always want to continue to do, or do we want to? I'm not necessarily, you know, I just want to throw it out there and talk about it because there may be some opportunities out there, and so I would at least want to include that in a goal. But I don't want to get too far out ahead of the board on some of these things. So complete the rodeo ground and Stewart Street tank design and put the project out to bid. We've been talking about that for forever and a day. I want to get it out to bid, and I'd like to see what it comes back at and see if we can get that built. Complete revisions to the capital improvement list that represents priorities related to infrastructure. We're almost done with that. Update the water master plan. Since we, from a hydraulic modeling perspective, since we identified residential fire flow for 1,500 gallons per minute as opposed to 2,500 gallon, that's going to change our water master plan dramatically, and it's going to change the bottlenecks in our infrastructure that we have previously identified at a higher fire flow. So that's, I'm going to put that in the budget. It shouldn't be that expensive to do. Complete the revisions to the connection fees for water and wastewater. Work with the CCSD Board of Directors and Council on the implementation of policies and amendments to the municipal code that would enhance general manager's operational objectives. We all know that there's several things within the municipal code, especially relating to conservation, that we need to tackle next, that need to be amended or taken out or revised. And then revise the CCSD's personnel policies, rules, and procedures. The last time that was done was 1987. So we have a document, sort of like your bylaws, that are relating to our policies and rules and procedures for personnel that is. You know, 15, 20 years old. It's not applicable to stable to adopt these today, or at least in the next month or so. Then we can start putting dollar amounts to these things, whether they're fully funded or not, but at least partially funded. We can do that, and then we can implement them into the budget, and we actually might get most of them done.
Thank you, Mr. Gruber. Discussion, Vice President Berger.
Yes, is there any, it sounds like we want to adopt these goals now, and as far as putting dollars to it is a subsequent exercise. So I think we're ready to be able to adopt these goals. One thing that happened earlier today is Mr. Cincini, I hope I pronounced that right, was talking a lot about things that are being done with trails and with the state parks and everything else, and I really appreciate it and think that he's doing an excellent job at trying to make Cambria a better place. But I think we need to realize that now, the way this particular board is set, is that we do not have land use authority. We are a water board. We are to provide safe, reliable water supplies to our customers. And at that being said, I know that after reading all of these goals, I think that they're very good and excellent. And I know that Mr. Gruber has been working hard to have his goals meld in with the other departments, including PROS. But in number two on PROS, it says, work on creating a safer route to Santa Lucia Middle School for children, the area between Highway 1 and the Cambria Nursery. And we're going to work collaboratively with Dirk Winters. Well, that's really PROS that needs to do that, because we do not have land use authority, and we should recognize that. Personally, I think we should over time. I think that we could spend a lot of TOT money within the district if we were to incorporate, but that's a whole other idea, and that's going to be several years down the line. But when citizens are looking at whether their roads are being paved or what services we're getting from the county, really they need to go to the county and get those services. Not from us.
Can I,
Director Robinette,
comment on that just a little bit? And I agree with you, Director Barringer, that it is a it gets into county and land use. I would want, though, for us to continue to create partnerships with the county or other agencies that are involved, because when I look at the partnerships that we have had in the past, and I know we will in the future, we don't have the direct link that I do like us to be, and I'm not suggesting in any way that you're not, by the way, but I want us to maybe be the impetus to getting the county to work with us, because it's in the best interest of our community safety, our needs, and so I do agree with you that we don't have those, we certainly don't have those authorities. On the other hand, if I see them as a goal, I still don't think it's bad because we move it to the partnership level. We can't do it on our own, but we could certainly, you know, be a support to it.
Thank you for your comments, and yes, I am for supporting these goals. There is no doubt about that. I'm just saying that there might be a more efficient way of doing it. And citizens, when they should take these issues to the NCAC is an excellent sounding board for that, and I do support them. And we can use a bully pulpit, perhaps, and we do need to cooperate with the county. But I want the public to know that that is just not one of our responsibilities, and I'd like it to be some.
And I agree. Oftentimes people do seem to get confused or disappointed because we're not doing something they think that we are responsible for when we're not.
Director Clift.
One thing we can do in this particular area is support, you know, maybe efforts by the PROS to go to SLOCOG, San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. There is grants for what is called Safe Routes to Schools. Very specific money available every year through SLOCOG, and we might, as a situation, endorse a grant request that maybe PROS wants to write up for that kind of a thing.
I think that's a good idea. Tim Roche, the mover, really, and leader of the dog park kind of effort, too. OnPROS does go to those meetings, I believe, and so I think that would be a next step would be to talk with him. I think he still goes anyway, and see if he's going and look into grants.
Well, in San Luis, their offices there, you can contact the director and the staff people there. They'll immediately... and quite frankly, I think there's been a when I was on that advisory board, there was money going
no grant requests for it. Generally, it came from school districts for assistance. It surely does us no harm to endorse those things.
Absolutely.
So even though we don't have the authority, we do have the authority to endorse that kind of thing so that it tries to get moved along.
In that vein, can I move that we endorse
the world? Do one thing first. Director Robinette had, there was an item, and Mr. Carmel, I don't want to get in trouble. Can I ask Director Robinette to bring up the item that she would like to have included on the goals because it's something that kind of fell through the cracks on this?
Certainly. Are you planning on taking formal action on it?
Well, I do hope so, because somehow I don't know how we had a technical malfunction or whatever, but I did submit my goals in a timely way, and I had given thought to them, and somehow they just didn't make. I just thought when I saw it, I didn't make the cut, but then. Thank you, Monique.
If it's not extensive, can we just have it as a typo?
What? Yeah.
There's no problem in adding goals to this.
Okay,
list.
That's what I thought, that was part of how we were going to approach this and add goals. So
sure.
I will add my goals. And first, it was satisfying to see that in some form or another, the goals that I did submit with President Thompson and on to our general manager very much in concert with the rest of the board's goals. And so that's always comforting not to be out in left field. But the one that I would like to add specifically, because I think mostly the others are touched upon already, is I would like to see us create an outreach committee. As much as we try and work very hard to include our community members, our citizens here, we will all once in a while still find someone that feels like they don't have a way to be heard. And that's not true, because I think everyone here wants to hear, and we appreciate it when people come and join us like you are today, because we need your thinking too. So one of the goals that I would like is to establish an outreach committee. I guess that would be we can decide what we want to call it, but it would be for the purpose of making sure that our stakeholders, that the diversity in this community, unique to this community, has representation of what the community is thinking. And ideas. People are very creative. They come up with great ideas, and so we need that outreach to benefit from that. So that's not 10 words or less, but that's what I would like to add, is that we do form an outreach committee, and then I would like to suggest that we would have some way to determine a membership. It can't be so many members that it's unwieldy, and after a while you go away thinking, what got accomplished? So I'm almost suggesting that we have maybe 10 members that are people that do have kind of different connections to the community, so that we can try to hear pretty much the stakeholders here.
In sake of brevity, could I suggest that we adopt the goals as stated, with the addition of creating an outreach committee for 2013?
Thank you.
If that's a motion, I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor of adopting item 9C, which is the CCSD 2013-2014 goals, to include the additional item as suggested by Director Robinette, please indicate with an aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That motion is approved. Thank you very much. Thank you, Joellen, for your input. We'll move back to item 9A, which is discussion and consideration to adopt CCSD's water conservation plan. Director Gruber, General Manager Gruber.
Thank you, President Thompson.
I'm going to turn this one over to Bob. I know we've had Bill and Lisa Medalis from Medalis Water Management standing by for some time, and Bob can summarize what we've done to get to this point in time. Before we do anything else, I'd like to thank Director Robinette and Director Rice. They have really put a lot of hours into this. Bob and me and Lisa and Bill, they all get compensated. We all get compensated pretty well, but I got to tell you, we've spent countless hours.
Let me double check this microphone here. Okay.
Bill's online.
Okay. Was that you, Bill?
Yes.
Great. Okay.
Excellent. Here too. Yes, I can hear you.
Great. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you both. They've been waiting in the wings, off in cyberspace here, for this to start. I won't go into a lot of detail on the staff report unless you want me to back into it. I have a PowerPoint today that covers most of the points that are in that staff report. And as I understand, and I'm going to ask legal counsel, this is approved by motion. I know we start off as resolution, but I think it changed to approved by motion, right, Tim?
Sure. Has the same force and effect.
All right. I just wanted to double-check myself on that. Thank you. I'm going to stand over here so I don't have my back to people. So that kind of bugs me. So without further ado, this purpose of this discussion item is to consider adoption of what we're now calling the Water Use Efficiency Plan. I think it was Director Rice that suggested a change in title back during our February 12th board meeting. So those of you who have been keeping real close track of this, it was called a Water Conservation Plan in the past, so the name has changed to this newer, more efficient name. So we'll go from there. Let me see if I can get this right. Oop. Some quick background. The CCSD contracted with Medalis Water Management back in June of 2012. The first public workshop in this room was held on October 9th of last year. They reported their draft findings as part of the January 17th regular board meeting, and then we had another special board meeting or workshop on February 12th of this year, and then now we're coming forward with the final plan and to recommend you consider the adoption of the plan. Medalis Water Management has programmed three conservation or water efficiency programs. The first one, Program A, is only a slight expansion of the current program. Program B is optimized to maximize water savings. It adds a few new measures, and it also recommends pursuing what they call conservation pricing. And Program C has all the measures, and it's pending more input from a future plan without doing anything. And it increases from where we're at now. We felt that in around 2020 or so, you'd have a water supply project online by that time. The next lower green line is what's going to happen just from plumbing code updates. There's been a number of improvements in the industry where you'll have to put in more water-efficient fixtures like toilets and washing machines and so forth. And that's going to happen as people have to replace units. Like if your toilet breaks down, you're not going to be able to buy the old toilet. You're going to have to buy the more efficient toilet. So that kind of exemplifies what happens in kind of a natural basis without doing any conservation program. And then the next line down, the red line or the orangish line, that's Program A, and that shows some savings occurring just from what we're doing right now. And getting a little more involved with Program B, which they are recommending, you'll see that red line, which you're lowering quite a bit of future demand that way. And then the last bottom line is Program C. The next figure, can you advance that for me, Jesse? Thank you. I'd also like to thank AGP Video. They did a lot of last-minute maneuvering to come over, get through some technical problems we were having earlier. This is a plot. It's what they call present value, taking 20 years of cost, roughly, and rolling it up front. But what's interesting about this plot is kind of the slope that occurs. And you get from, and I'll let Bill or Lisa speak to this further if you want more detailed elaboration on it, but essentially the program B is what's being recommended. And this slope here kind of drops off from B to C. It's not quite as steep. And so for that reason, they had recommended program B as part of their earlier work, and that's what's in the final report right now. Just to summarize the recommended measures, there's general measures, residential measures, and commercial measures as part of this. Can you see okay, Mo? The general measures are public information, water loss control program, the automated meter reading conservation benefits. That's something we can expand on further that we do now. The conservation pricing update, and then continue the prohibited. There's closed washer rebates. We're reinitiating that program. We kind of lost some funding in the past, but we just had a staff meeting not too long ago about trying to get more funds for that to get that kicked off better. There's water use efficiency surveys, showerhead giveaways. We've been doing that. I think, we've given away probably over 300 showerheads in the last couple of months alone that are the newer 1.5-gallon-a-minute showerheads. The requiring fixture replacement by a deadline, we do that to a certain extent now. For example, on a resale of a house, you have to retrofit and put in the most efficient, water-efficient fixtures and to meet our code requirement. We also distribute hot water recirculation pumps. Those are pumps that typically go on either by a sink, but more often by your hot water heater. They can be on a timer. There's other ways to remote control them, but it's so you don't have to run your hot water in the morning. Say you're going to take a shower and you let that water run for several minutes to heat up. The hot water circulating pump prevents that waste of water by getting that hot water to your shower head quicker, so you're not wasting water. And we've been doing that for many years now, probably 10 or 15 years or more, but just to continue that program as well. On the commercial side of things, we have large meter replacements and leak monitoring. We want to continue to replace roughly the 200 commercial meters we have with more efficient ones that have electronic flags that may indicate when there's a leak, as well as be more accurate. Again, closed washer rebates for commercial, water use efficiency surveys. There's high efficiency urinal rebates. This is the things that water conservation people get excited about, but they actually go from roughly 1 gallon per flush down to an eighth of a gallon per flush. So we want to work with the schools and the restaurants and so forth on that. They're requiring replacements by a deadline. Again, upon resale comes to mind, but also change of use and other things kick in our code on that. Require irrigation and landscape upgrades, and that's something we still have to work the details out on. So that's the gist of the program B that's being recommended by Manaus Water Management. And then the conclusions they reached were, of the three programs analyzed, B appears to be the most cost-effective. About 98.7 acre-feet per year can be seen. Touch on briefly, and that's how this is funded. That was not in the scope of work for Manaus Water Management, so you won't find it in their report per se, but we have a points bank system actually in our code, and I think we touched a little bit on that in the early part of the board meeting, but basically development pays for the points. They have to offset their demand by either purchasing so many points that equate to the amount that their future project's going to provide, and that those points go into a bank. There's a charge for that. I've seen a few in the last 6 months for fairly large residential homes ranging about $15,000 in point fees for those homes. That funding and those points then go towards the rebates that get issued. So it's kind of a supply and withdrawal, as mentioned earlier, so that when, say, a high-efficiency washing machine gets a certain rebate, that's worth so many points, and those points get deposited into the bank. So it's kind of a self-funding means to work this through development points payments. So just want to alert you to that, because I know the $300,000 is going to look like a high number. But that is essentially being paid by future connections. The next steps we have are to receive feedback from public and board today, adopt the final plan subject to any input we receive, and then we would incorporate any added measures into a future urban water management plan update. So that's typically done every 5 years. Usually, like 2010 would be the 2015 year, but you can do that basically any year you want to. I mean, there's nothing, you just can't go past 5 years on that. And then continue to budget and fund resources for the plan. That's additional rebates and incentives. The contract assistance on certain future measures, for example, we would need to hire a specialty rate consultant to look at this conservation rate study. And then lastly, you know, implement the recommendations of the report. So that concludes my presentation, and if there's any questions at this point, we have Lisa and Bill in the wings, and myself as well. So thank you.
Before we bring it back to the board, let's hear from Elizabeth Bettenhausen, public comment.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have just a couple of questions, because I don't have the... that you are approving a whole, pardon my language, hell of a lot. And I want to know what it means. There's a phrase, limited number of new connections. It's never specified. I saw some people the other day, they were looking at buying property in Cambria. They were standing by it. This is fiction. And they saw these mounds of dirt. And they asked the real estate agent, how come all that those piles of dirt are there? And the real estate agent said, oh, that's just pocket gophers. And they said, well, is that a real problem? And the real estate agent said, no, they're just a limited number of pocket gophers there. Now, you know, don't you, just your reaction. That could be, in Cambria, a hell of a lot of pocket gophers. And I want to know, when you're speculating here about a limited number of connect, what are you talking about? I don't want to use up all my 3 minutes on that. You get the point. According to page 94, the quote, the only way to pay for conservation is new connections. Now, the new connections, I assume, are related to the 1% population growth, which we know statistically, and God knows we have a lot of statistics in here, 515 people. There are going to be new people, though, who move in. They aren't going to be born here, according to this document. They're going to be people who move into town. Okay. Now, I want to know, how many meters are we going to have to give out for those 515 people? Oh, the pocket gophers are limited. But how limited are they? I have no idea from this document, really, how many intent to serve letters you will issue to bring this about. The second point, what is the relationship between page 135, number 14, which refers to one of the aspects of Program B, conservation pricing, which I know is the tier issue, but there's no further specificity about what constitutes conservation pricing, which you are going to approve today, I have no doubt. And, pardon me, Mr. President, I want to point only to the other page, which is page 136, where you talk about the budget of $300,000 a year for this new work and recovering the costs only by these new meters. But I want to know, how much of the $300,000 annually?
Or Mr. Grishins, any response that you can offer up at this point?
Lisa and Bill, did you capture those questions? And I, the only one that I would defer to the board is the specific number of connections, and that really hasn't been determined as of yet. That's a limited number,
well,
but that's a policy decision.
It's obviously limited by the number of efficiency offsets, because even though we're talking about additional people here, we're talking about no additional use of water.
So the first limiting factor is that if no one takes advantage of rebates or makes any changes, if we go to that first do nothing situation, then obviously the number is zero or close to zero. If in fact the community and our incentives create the point system that reduces the water usage sufficiently to provide for additional residents, then it's limited by how many. There's a secondary limitation, obviously, that could be the growth management of the county, who does have the ultimate zoning, you know, land use authority. So to say, is it 6, is it 7, is it 35, I don't know. But I do know it's limited by our ability not to use any more water than we're currently using.
I could add to that too, as far as what would 515 relate to? This, again, it's a theoretical modeling number, but it's, you roughly have in Cambria around 2 people per home. So you divide it in 2, you're a little over 250 theoretically with this plot as far as that growth rate goes before it flattens out. But again, you know, Director Clift is exactly right. You have to offset all future connections with conservation. It's written right into local coastal program for this area. We have to abide by that community-wide condition. So a project's not going to go anywhere unless there's some supporting offset through conservation.
Bryce?
I appreciate Ms. Bettenhausen's questions. I think this is a really good start, and I think that it's a document that can be used as a resource for Cambria to work through how to prioritize the efficiencies of and the different measures that are listed. There's a lot of measures in here. And any program of measures that asks Cambrians to either pay more for water or take some sort of action, even if it's just to replace a showerhead, say, we have to, I think, invite the community in to that conversation. When in 2007, when the board wanted to increase the rates, I participated in a group of voluntary meetings. I think we had 2 a month, sometimes we had 4 a month. We were meeting weekly. This is 30 or 40 people in Cambria that cared enough to come and read the documentation and try and find out the information so that they could make an informed decision on what was going on. I participated in the Emergency Alternative Water Citizens Committee. That was a group of people that spent probably 8 months just getting a handle on what is the system. To in order to make some recommendations to the board. I think if we don't have, this is a perfect document because it brings together the data on use and the data on demand projections and puts it together with the expertise of a consultant who has at least a couple dozen years of experience with this kind of thing, with some descriptions of types of measures we can use to limit the demand going forward. And I think that using this document to get a group of people together to really look at what are the priorities going to be and what do we mean when we say limited and what do we mean when we say we're going to raise rates, because I think this is a guiding document. It's not going to end up on the shelf. It's good information. It won't take us 6 or 8 months to get caught up because we're still gathering the data. All the data is here. It just needs to be. When I taught high school, the only way to get the kids to follow the rules was to have them design the rules. It's not that hard to do. People know what needs to be done. You have to let them be participating in how it gets done. And I would sincerely hope there's enough people in this town that would want to participate in something like that so we forward to build some good understanding of what is our demand and how do we control and better manage our resource.
Thank you. Director Arbonnet?
Thank you. I think, of course, again, the question of how many connections each year, of course, is a very prudent one. I think the fact that we're going to have to evaluate as we go each year and make those decisions on an annual basis would make sense, absolutely. It was interesting when we went to San Simeon, President Thompson also went to that, and I did too, on what they've been doing there and recycling their water. And how that came about, my understanding is that they had some violation that was causing them to either pay a penalty or to turn around and begin to use the same amount of money to solve the problem. And it's always, I think, important to be open to learning. And I considered that. And in our community, I think there's no question that everyone does know, I believe, California does have state laws. By 2020, we're clearly going to have certain conservation practices in mind to continue to keep our water demand where the state's going to require it. In our community, I do hope, I know a lot of people by now, very good-hearted people. I hope that we look at the benefit. We're talking about the intent to serve list, opening it up. I hope, because I have heard this once in a while, I've heard some people say, well, if I'm saving water and now they are coming here where I am, I'm not going to do that. To me, that's truly like shooting ourselves in the foot, because we do have other agencies called the State of California that will expect us to have a certain amount of water savings, efficiency, which I think is a very good term. We, I believe, are all aware here, we don't want, as Director Rice has talked about, we don't want to bear the burden of increased fees at any time. We don't like to talk about raising fees in any way. Where do we get revenue? One of the ways that we, I hope, are going to be looking at the end, I can tell you, I don't see any big rush of houses being built. I know for a fact that when we look at our graph, and I have pointed this out, that 515 is absolutely not realistic if we started today, because it would be 216 before anyone would be able to move into a new home in the first place. And, you know, so I know that this whole thing goes much more gradual than even our chart would suggest. But I do think that we have to look at where do we ever come up with additional resources, additional revenue? How do we keep a balance? The key is not to race into anything without giving a lot of thought to it.
Thank you. Director Rice?
I would just like to point out on this particular chart that we're looking at right here, if you look at 2020, 2021, 2022, which is where, for some reason, the 1% growth stops. If you look at with the plumbing code, and that's if the plumbing code doesn't change between now and 2020, which seems kind of unlikely, but if it never changes, you see that green line is going down. That's where we don't have any additional growth, okay? So if we were status quo, as in there's no more, as in there's, we still have the moratorium, our water use, the amount of water that we're using, just by changing the plumbing code, as long as we're making sure that all the houses are up to code, of course, our water use is going down, which means there's more water available to be used. And my personal feeling is if we want to make sure that we protect our aquifers and we want to make sure that our water rates don't go up, we need to make sure that what we've got here is a doable thing. And I think that it is doable. I don't think that there's any way that we could say that we don't have enough water, because we have more extra water just from the plumbing code and being up to date with the plumbing code. Implementing some of these measures gets us even further. And I personally when it comes to rates, and I don't think there's anything in here about that the rates are what the rates are going to be and that approving this would change the rates. But my goal would be is if people are already using very small amount of water, they're not the people who are already using less than 5 or less than 6 should
and the plan is a roadmap. I don't see us necessarily implementing all the items at one time. I think there are a lot of these items. There are almost what 20 that that we can implement without a budgetary impact. And I think, as with any plan or any roadmap, you need to start. And I think this is a good start. I think it's a good plan. And I think we need to move forward with it and implement the items that we can move forward on right now.
I'd like to.
Oh, sorry, Director Clift.
Yeah, I want to compliment Director Rice on the efficiency aspect, because even though words sometimes are important in thinking about it, since you came up with that, if you think about a conservation program, you think about doing with less. Or taking actions that are saving something or not doing. And I don't think anywhere in this program are we asking people to do anything less than what they're doing today. We're not asking people to take shorter showers. We're not asking people to flush the toilet one time less per day than you're doing now. We're not asking you to not wash your clothes or anything like that. We're simply asking you to do it more efficiently. So if you do the same amount of clothes, if you do 3 loads of wash a week in a top-loading wash machine as compared to a front-loading washing machine, you've saved 100 and some odd, 110 gallons of water a week. And you didn't change your behavior at all. And I think that's what's really important about this plan, because I know some people said, oh, I'm not going to conserve more so that they can have more people in this community. And I think it's emphasis that we are not asking people to give up a way of life that they already have. And so I think the concept immediate recovery. So if you can invest $30,000 and get $38,000 back, that's a pretty good return on your money in this economy. So I think it's a great program. I think it's something that we ought to go forward with immediately. I think also that this board needs to understand that if we go forward with this, we ought to go forward with it aggressively. And we ought to back this up with the things that we need to do in the future, such as getting the connection fee thing done as fast as, you know, getting it back to maybe March's board meeting. And if we have to have a workshop after that or something, that's fine. But we need to get moving on this, because people, I think it's available and we should be using it. And I'm going to support it.
Mr. Berenger?
I would like to also comment that you know, you can always shoot a plan down if it doesn't have enough specifics, and sometimes you actually have to make a decision and have a specific, you know, limited number of letters is what. Well, when we issue 3, that's what it is, 3. So, you know, we're going to have specifics as it comes down the line. And one of the things that I heard throughout this is until you put some out, until you actually have some additional residences, you can then measure whether, in fact, your conservation program is working. So you need to somehow start to measure. And I believe the public and I believe we all want to measure, in fact, to see if this is working well. And one comment on that I want to support Director Rice is that I think we do need a rate structure that rewards those people that have been saving. I kind of don't like the idea that if you only use three a month, you pay as much as somebody that uses six. I think we should have a progressive scale that's reasonable for residences, and make sure that we don't have a scale that's so onerous to a restaurant that they can't grow. So that's a sticky subject. We've got to talk about that. But right now, it doesn't require. We're talking about adopting this program. I like it, and I think we should. I support it.
Who would like to make the motion?
I would like to move that the board approve the water use efficiency plan prepared by Matos Water Management using and supported to give to staff.
We've had, I think, certainly a call for expedited action and a call for consideration within the budget on those items that we could move forward on. And
I'm not necessarily in support of putting a cart before the horse before we... I think the motion was to adopt. I think we should adopt and not put any barnacles on it.
That's okay.
No barnacles. Okay. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Motion is approved.
Now can we elaborate just a little
bit?
I think in the direction aspect, we ought to direct staff to bring back a budget adjustment to cover the last quarter of this year. And so if it's 300,000 divided by four, and I would suggest we come back with a budget adjustment so that we tell the people we're doing what we're going to do, and then the conservation committee can set up the rebates, and we can approve them, and we can go.
I would support that direction.
General Manager?
I think it's a good idea. I'm kind of process-oriented. What I'd like to see is, you know, we're going to schedule an ad hoc committee meeting, and I'd like to roll up our sleeves for a couple hours and figure out what do we think that we should start to implement. And then when we bring the mid-year budget adjustment back in March, that'll incorporate that dollar amount. Because we do have a limited amount of funds left in the conservation budget, and I did provide the conservation committee with a spreadsheet on that, what we spent so far, what it's been spent on, and what we have left. But you're right. We need to put our money where our mouth is, and if we're serious about this, then we come back with specific things within the conservation program that the conservation committee supports, and then we'll incorporate that into the mid-year budget adjustment. So I'm not sitting here going, well, we don't have the money to do it, or coming up with excuses why we haven't done it. And then the component that Director Rice was talking about, it, about, you know, advertising what we do have money for and what we don't have money for, can be incorporated. So I see a process, but I see, first of all, the Conservation Committee meeting as soon as we can, coming up with some things that we want to fund within this. And then we bring it, before we come back in March, we'll meet with the Budget Committee. We'll run it by you guys. And then we'll, if we want to really implement this program, we do have reserves that would allow us to do that. Of course,
absolutely.
You know, I think this board's been, myself, has been really responsible about our reserves and safeguarding those. However, I think this is really important and that we do have funds available, and we'll consider that.
Thank you. I think that was adequate direction, and Mr. Gruber will convene the Conservation Ad Hoc Committee, and I think you better allow more than 2 hours. I've seen that committee in action. So,
if I may add just a...
Yes, Mr. Reese.
I'd just like to thank the Water Conservation Ad Hoc Committee for all their hard efforts, particularly, you know, Amanda Rice and Gail Robinette. I know they worked very hard behind the scenes, and I thank them for that. I also would like to thank those that did show up at the past meetings and this meeting as well to provide input. But then again, I felt remiss not to thank Bill and Lisa, who are on the phone here. So even though they're in cyberspace, you all could take a bow of some sort. But we do appreciate your efforts. Thank you all.
You're welcome.
I would like to echo that, too. I think everyone that's been involved as part of our community that have come to the meetings, who have shared their thinking, I appreciate that and respect that time. And I also think certainly Bob Gresham and General Manager Gruber and everyone that has worked very, very hard on this, and certainly the consultants, the Madhouse consultants. So we wanted something that is actually tangible, that we can move forward with, that we can now begin to implement. And it's hard work sometimes because we feel like, do we ever get anywhere? Do we ever actually make a difference? Well, I think part of what we do is we do make decisions, but we're careful and we consider, and everything is always fluid.
The one other thing that I would might suggest that we begin to think about is some form of a letter or notification to those, at least the top 100 people on the wait list, to say what we are contemplating doing and see if there's, you know, because it takes a long time to go through this whole process if you wanted an intent to. If we send out 100 letters and 99 people say, in this economy, I'm not doing anything, that tells us, too, what the situation is.
Well, the members of the wait list are required to pay a fee every year, are they not? So it might be a good idea to advise them that, A, with your fee, we'd also like to know where you are, and this is what we've been doing.
Yeah.
I'm sidebarring over here, District Council. We'll discuss it and bring it back to you. How does that sound? I didn't mean to sound rude. We're just over here. I'm listening out of this ear and talking to him. So I'm. So yes, we hear you, and we will do it in a manner that.
that comes under direction.
Absolutely.
But I also, I'd like to thank Bill and Lisa Mattis for the work that they did, and also point out that we have had a very exhaustive, very extensive process by which the community has been able to interact with us and get updates and to comment on the various iterations of the project. And so I'm glad we finally have been able to bring it here and that we're moving forward with the implementation of the plans.
I'd just like to encourage anybody who's interested, who's either here at the meeting or listening later, listening live, if you are interested in more detail on this plan, please feel free to contact me. I'm available anytime, 909-0814.
Thank you. And with that, I believe we're ready to move on to item 9B, General Manager.
Thank you, President Thompson and board members. Item 9B is a consideration of Ordinance 012013, amending subsection B of section 8.04.110 of the CCSD Municipal Code relating to the Affordable Housing Program. I'm going to turn this over to District Council Tim Carmel.
Thank you. At the January meeting, the board reviewed the affordable housing program contained in the municipal code, and it provided staff with direction to bring back some amendments to the provisions in the affordable housing program that require an allocation of 6 affordable housing units annually, and that those units buy whatever need there is for additional affordable housing on top of the 40-unit project that you approved last time. So before you have an ordinance that carries forth the board's direction. I can read the material provisions if you like, but they're fairly specific, referring to the 6 units that will no longer be carried over, the annual review provision as well. So at this time, we're going to recommend that you introduce the ordinance, waive reading, and it'll come back next time for adoption. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Any discussion? Hearing none,
I would move that we waive further reading, read by title only, and introduce ordinance
012013, amending subsection B of section 8.04.110 of the CCSD Municipal Code relating to affordable housing program.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
That motion is... One last item, or next to last item, item 9D, discussion and consideration to reschedule the March 28th regular board meeting. Mr. General Manager.
Thank you, President Thompson and board members. This was asked to be put on the agenda due to the fact that on the 28th, when we normally meet in March, that the SDRMA will be holding an education day for all its members in Sacramento. And we wanted to bring this to the board and ask them if they want to consider moving the board meeting date to the 24th, which would accommodate not only the board but the staff to be able to attend what we feel is a really valuable opportunity, but also an opportunity for the board, if they so desire, to travel to Sacramento. And actually, Director Clift is very, very knowledgeable about this and may want to comment a little bit more on it and the importance that it as it relates to our district in particular.
Safety days, safe board members take it. If all of our board members take it and we meet some other criteria, you can be the district of distinction. Now, other than a plaque, what that means for you is a reduction in your insurance premium, which SDRMA is our insurance provider. And for districts that have that distinction, there is a reduction in the insurance premium. But even if you just simply going there that day, there is what they call CIP points, credit incentive points, and those are reductions in the insurance premium. Now, one mistake on the staff report here is it says the education day is free to all SDRMA members and CSDA members, of which, of course, we are both, except for the separate workshop. The Governance Foundation. Governance Foundation, the workshops, the Academy workshops are $200 each, except this specific one on this specific day is free to SDRA members. So it's a savings if we want to become involved in these kinds of programs that are directed towards making it a better board, better operating board. So what the cost to the district would be, and I would be going as a director of SDRMA, so there's no cost to the district for me at all. I mean, they take care of all of that for me. But the only cost to the district would be transportation and one overnight, because the breakfast and lunch is also provided by SDRMA on that kind of thing. So if it's possible, I would love to change the meeting. If it's not possible, maybe I can watch you on live streaming.
Okay,
can we connect you remotely for the meeting part? I mean, I guess if you're participating in a different
no,
meeting.
I'd be in a class. I'd have to have it on silent, you know, because, and they'd probably let me do that because I'm a director. I could get away with it, whereas
fair enough.
The average person could.
You can't do two meetings at the same time, Merle. Come on.
Well, I can't. I couldn't bill you for two at the same time. Let's put it that way.
As a point of clarification, you meant the 21st, is that right?
You meant 24th. The 21st.
Yeah, you said 24th. Okay.
The Thursday previous.
I personally, I'm a member.
Didn't do the actual leadership.
The Governance Foundation?
No, you did the one that, if I remember right, you did the one that, I'd have to look it up. I'll look it up.
It was a comprehensive day, that was for sure.
Yeah.
But But with regard to moving the meeting to the 21st, certainly I would support that because we wouldn't want to miss you even if we didn't go there. We won't want to miss you here.
I'd also like to get the business of the district moved quicker and quicker, so I'm glad it's earlier rather than later.
Okay, can we?
I think our general manager has attended some things previously that got us points and things, and we can basically save what up to 15% on our insurance premiums if we got the maximum points.
Yes.
You know that's a that basically pays the cost of these kinds of things.
Okay.
I move that we change the meeting date of our March meeting from March 28th to March 21st.
I'll second it.
Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
See how much we want you here, Merle? Okay, last item is number 10, future agenda items. Are there any requests from the board members for future agenda items?
My only request is love to have the connection fees here at the next board meeting.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
I'd like to start having the discussion about the outreach committee because it could be the beginning with something like the efficiency program could be one of the first tasks that like an outreach committee does. No reason to delay that.
That's a good idea.
Director Thompson, just a note, because it probably should be a standing committee versus an ad hoc because it's so large and it's going to be covering an extended period of time, and I'll let Tim weigh in on this one. But I could work with Director Robinette and bring it back in March, even though the board approved it as a goal. We could formulate that and specifically identify the stakeholders that we want to, you know, that we want as a part of it, and then we could, you know, and then we could, if that would be helpful, if that's
basically
that
have the framework of the
framework,
committee.
And sure. Then that's something that we could bring back in March, and then, and that would give us an opportunity to work on it between now and the next board meeting, and say, okay, we want somebody from the environmental community, somebody from the business. I'm just throwing some things out.
If we have 10 members. And maybe each of us appoints two or whatever, but we have to have a cross section of the community, and so how we work that out so that we have almost like, you know, we know we have representation. How we work that out, we have to figure that out.
In order for it to be a standing committee, it will take formal board action. So, as a future agenda item, I would ask that we put that on there.
I thank you, and with that, it appears that we have completed our agenda. So I would like to thank everyone for your diligence and the timeliness of the adjournment. I think we've hit it right on the nail in terms of AGV. And with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.